Rabbi David Feldman, thank you so much for sitting here with us today. And we're filming this interview at a time where student activists across the U.S. are being arrested for their pro-Palestine activism with claims that they're being anti-Semitic. What's your take on all of this?
Well, accusing people who stand up for the oppressed, people who say something when they see crimes taking place, this is not anti-Semitic. You know, doing what's right and speaking up for the oppressed is not anti-Semitic in any way. When these people, when these students, it's not only the students, it's so many other people are being attacked with this false accusation of anti-Semitism, this is disturbing. Because in the time, as you say, in the time that we see this genocide going on in Gaza, so many people, tens of thousands of people are being mass murdered, innocent people. This is something that us, people in the free world, should say something. This is unjust. This is unjust for the people of Palestine that this voice is attempted to be silenced. But it's not only doing injustice for the Palestinian people. This is doing injustice for the Jewish people as well. Because when you conflate Judaism and Zionism, you conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, you're making a statement as if all Jews support all what's going on and as if all Jews are accountable to what's going on. But we always need to know better than that. And we try to educate people to understand that anti-Zionism has nothing to do with anti-Semitism because Judaism and Zionism are not the same. Judaism is a religion. Zionism is a political movement. Should never be conflated.
Yes, and New York is one of the hotspots, shall we say, of Judaism, with over 2 million Jews living in this city. And as you say, some of them are anti-Zionist, but meanwhile, some of them are support the state of Israel and, you know, identify as Zionist. And sometimes we see them confronting you because of your stance. What's your take on them?
Well, first of all, as you say, New York is a very good example. Yes, there are a lot of Jewish people in New York. Many of them support Israel, but there's a massive community who is anti-Zionist. And people might not know because the mainstream media would never show you that. Like, for example, there was a couple of years ago, there was a huge mass anti-Zionist rally, a Jewish anti-Zionist rally in front of the Israeli consulate on 2nd Avenue, Manhattan. And then CBS would announce that there is a traffic jam on 2nd Avenue. And they would not say what the reason is. In other words, they purposely, intentionally ignore what is going on. So many people have no idea. But there is a massive religious Jewish anti-Zionist community who are outspokenly against Israel. What's important to understand is that these, not everyone comes out in each and every occasion. Mm-hmm. As you say, intimidation is massive. Pressure is enormous. I always tell this story. I had a very close friend of mine, comes over to me once and tells me, I'll do everything I can to support you, to support your activities, but there's no way I can come out in person. I run a huge business. I come out in person, they take a picture of me, I closed down the business the same day, but still, the anti-Zionism is strong. Our communities are very strong, and you can imagine if it wouldn't have been for those massive communities, what that will be behind us, we would not be able to be out there in these numbers and this so frequent and do so much.
Yes, you have huge numbers behind you. But also we're seeing Zionist groups like Betar recently becoming more emboldened and seeking to confront you. Can you speak on the activities of Zionist groups such as Betar?
Well, Betar to begin with, I'm not sure how large they are, how strong they are. They might be very wild. They might be very aggressive. We didn't see them in large numbers, but yes, they are very aggressive. They're coming out in public, intimidating, harassing demonstrators, happens to be peaceful demonstrators. You know, these demonstrations taking place in New York City that we all attend. These are not dangerous demonstrations, and these people will always claim that the pro-Palestinian solidarity movement is dangerous, and so on.
Yeah, and sometimes they approach you, they tell you things like, you should go to Gaza, you won't be safe in Gaza. How do you respond to that?
Oh, that's a good point. What they say is, yeah, go visit Gaza. And they always they also say, you know, go to the Arabs, they will kill you first. And I always respond to that, and usually these arguments end up with nothing, because they don't know what's going on whatsoever. And I try always to tell these people, and people who are willing to listen, and some people are willing to listen, and I tell them, you know, why are you so scared from these Palestinian people? They don't hate you. They don't want anything. They just want their freedom. We can live in peace with them. We lived in peace with them before Zionism came. They were always respectful for Jews, and they still are. But in the same time, they are deeply upset and against the crimes being committed to Palestine, which doesn't make these people anti-Semitic, doesn't make these people dangerous for Jews. While in the same time, yes, those people are vehemently opposing this occupation of Palestine. Now, when you find people on the street protesting the genocide in Gaza, this is not about protesting the Jewish people. This is not about protesting the Jewish religion. This is about crimes and which they are opposed to. And we as Jewish people share their frustration, and we share their pain of people who are disturbed when all of this is taking place.
What do you say to those who maybe agree with what you're saying, but also say that Jewish people need a strong Israel to be safe?
This is one of the arguments that the Zionists are using, that Jewish people suffered in the Holocaust. We are in exile for the past 2,000 years. It's about time for us to have a safe haven. And most of the time, this is being, religion is being used into these conversations. They are trying to use religion, some concepts of the Jewish religion, to justify this claim. But what one needs to understand is basically two points. First of all, this is not Judaism. According to Judaism, we are forbidden to create this so-called safe haven for the Jewish people. According to the very basics of Judaism, there's a concept of Jewish exile, which is a divine decree, which we are forbidden to end by any physical means, even if we find that this building is a safe haven would be in our favor. According to our religion, this is forbidden. We accept the decree of God, whether it is comfortable or it isn't. We accept the word of God that we should not end this exile by any physical means. And we leave this up to God for him to end our exile. This is exactly what Judaism teaches us, that it's only God, God himself, that will bring the ultimate redemption, where all humanity together will serve the one God in peace and brotherhood. Zionism is forbidden. Safe haven is Zionism. But I have to add this other point. All of this would be true even if this would have been the safe haven for the Jewish people, even if this would have been the favor of Jews. But it happens to be that the state of Israel is the greatest danger for the Jewish people. While we lived in Palestine in peace, it is the occupation of Palestine which has destroyed this peace. And in addition, I have to add that, coming back to the previous point, even if this would have been in the favor of the Jewish people, we should never oppress another people. We should never harm another people because it might be in our interest.
Certainly very interesting points you're making there, philosophically and religiously, very interesting arguments. But Zionists often use religious arguments to justify the existence of Israel. How do you respond to those claims? And also, Zionists equate Judaism together with Zionism. And what's your take on that?
Zionists are conflating Judaism with Zionism because they need Judaism to support their movement of Zionism. But what happens here is something very ironic and very hypocritical. You have a movement of Zionism, which is officially a secular movement. It's not only secular, because the founders of Zionism and the people, the Zionists today, are not only secular. They basically, many of them, hate Judaism. They hate God and his religion. For example, I have a friend of mine who grew up in Zionist education, grew up in Jerusalem. And he told me that what he was taught is that we, the Jewish people, have two enemies. Now guess who the two are and who the first is. The first is the religious Jew, and the second is the Arab. Mm. Now, both of this is wrong. The religious Jew is basically the Jew. But this is how they hate religion, the Jewish religion, and they hate religious Jews, which just shows you how far away they are from Judaism. But that movement, the movement of Zionism, who is secular and who refuses to follow Judaism, they misuse this very same religion they refuse to follow, and they misuse it to justify crimes which are forbidden in this very same religion, because killing and stealing, oppressing an entire people, all of this is forbidden in Judaism. And as I said before, the whole concept, the idea of Zionism to build a sovereign homeland for Jews is in total contrast of Judaism. Now, seeing a secular movement misusing the religion doesn't make sense in the first place. But what my response to those people is, we can only explain and educate that while you are misusing the Jewish religion, the Jewish religion in each and every way is in total contrast to this movement of Zionism.
And when we take a look at what's happening right now overall in the Middle East with President Trump taking office, he ran as being a president for peace, and he promised that he can bring peace not only to the Middle East, but to Ukraine and many other regions. How is your take on how his administration, their policies have been so far, and do you have hope for peace?
Now, I'm not a politician. Now, I'm not sure exactly what can be done in each and every conflict around the world. But when it comes to Zionism, it comes to Palestine, what we are presenting is, we are presenting the view of Judaism, of our religion. And yes, we do see the approach that our president of the United States has taken. We always say to politicians, we appreciate when politicians or individuals extend the hand for the Jewish people. We definitely appreciate, but we try to educate and to explain that supporting Israel is not in favor of the Jewish people. Supporting Israel is doing so much harm to the suffering people of Palestine and so much harm for the Jewish people. We do everything we can to explain, to educate, that Judaism is not Zionism.
And in this climate, when some are afraid of speaking out, as you said, they're worried about losing their businesses, how important is it for Jewish voices like yours to speak out for Palestine?
Well, it is extremely important for us to speak up for many reasons. First of all, the oppressed people of Palestine deserve that people in the free world should speak up. And without Jewish people coming out, the rest of humanity is being intimidated, of being anti-Semitic. This is one of the reasons why it's so important for Jewish people to come out and to help people overcome this propaganda and understand that this is a human cause, this is a righteous cause, this is a cause that needs to be addressed, and we all share this very important cause. And in addition to this is so important because we have to break this stereotype. People should know that not all Jews take part in this. No, Jewish people who are right-minded people disagree with all of this. The state of Israel does not represent us. It certainly doesn't represent our religion. If there is a group of people supporting these crimes, you know, that's their own decision. But this is not the voice of the entire Jewish people.
When you speak to Jewish people who are kind of on the fence, they're not Zionists, but maybe when they see you, they see that there's an alternative path they can take. Can you speak to those conversations? Maybe not some who are set in their ways, but some who you can actually change their perspective.
There are many people, especially since October 7th, so many people are waking up. So many people are seeing something new that they didn't realize until now. You know, until now everything was like okay, but now they are waking up to see that something is wrong. And these people are willing, some of them are willing to listen. In my experience, the Zionist propaganda is so strong and so massive that even if you would find some people who are not supposed to be Zionist, who people who in essence are not Zionist, but the movement of Zionism has managed to confuse the masses, the Jewish people are in danger. It's those enemies of ours who seek to destroy us all, and they want to drive us into the sea. From the river to the sea, people are so disturbed by this slogan, from the river to the sea. And I speak to people and I try to explain them, what do you think is the second half of this slogan, from the river to the sea? Kill all the Jews? And people say yes. People believe that from the river to the sea, Palestine wants to see all Jews killed, which is so ridiculously wrong. It doesn't make any sense. And I always explain to people, Palestine doesn't want to see Jewish people dead. They don't even want to see all Jews expelled from Palestine. That's not what they're saying. All they want is total freedom for their people and free their land. And we spoke to so many political leaders of the Palestinian groups, so many religious leaders, so many individuals, layman people. Nobody says otherwise. But unfortunately, people following Zionist propaganda are so misled to the point that they even lose their mind to be able to figure out what's in the best interest for themselves. Let's put the oppressed people of Palestine aside, which is something that everyone should think about. But even for their own interest, like they are fighting for the Jewish people. And by doing so, they are endangering all Jews. Like by supporting what Israel is doing, this is not in favor of the Jewish people. But I'm pleased to see that people are listening. And we do this already for decades, but especially since October 7th, people are opening their minds. And, you know, they see that they have to rethink what they were programmed until now. And they slowly open their minds.
And can you give a bit of a more personal perspective? Your family escaped Europe back in the days. They escaped genocide. So being a sort of a survivor of genocide, what kind of responsibility does that put on you, on your shoulders, to speak out when it's happening?
We always say it's because it's our communities who suffered in the Holocaust. It's our families who suffered in the Holocaust. That's a lesson for us, that we should not want to see this happen to anyone. When we are seeing what's happening in Gaza, this reminds us of the stories that our elders told us just a couple of decades ago. A number of my teachers were Holocaust survivors. And you know, they were telling stories, terrible stories. And unfortunately, we are hearing similar stories now. This is something that should, the Jewish history in the Holocaust should be a lesson for Jewish people, how to refuse this genocide taking place in Gaza.
So, turning to the future of Jewish and Palestinian solidarity, what do you think needs to happen in the U.S. so that more Jewish people support the Palestinian cause like you do?
Basically, they need information. They need education. They need to realize not only that what's being done to Palestine is wrong, but even more importantly, they need to know that Palestine is not the enemy of the Jewish people, and they never were. There's a massive propaganda that is ingrained in their minds from their very young age, mm-hmm. but this needs to be corrected. Mm-hmm. And once this will be corrected, we can get we can proceed further.
And going forward, some people are very unhopeful for the future of Gaza. What do you see happening now that the ceasefire has been broken again? The Netanyahu government seems to want to keep pushing to exterminate the Palestinian people from the land. What do you see happening?
I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen in Gaza. I hope for the best. But generally speaking with Palestine, I see a better future. Why? Because we see, at least since October 7th, even before, people are waking up. The general public is changing their views. Public opinion is shifting. Maybe we have to give credit to Netanyahu for waking up the people. I always say it's so sad when we have to pay this terrible price for people to wake up. So many people, so many tens of thousands of people need to be murdered for people to finally wake up. But this is what's happening.
But while they're waking up on one end, but also on the other end, here in the US, there's a lot of crackdown against pro-Palestine demonstrations. As we mentioned earlier, people are getting snatched up of the street. Do you have any worries for you, for your community, because you're standing up for Palestine? Could something happen to you?
Well, it can happen. It can happen, but to be clear here, this is not showing that it's not being successful. On the other way around, we see this as success. If there is no response to the pro-Palestinian solidarity movement other than physically cracking them down, then this is an achievement. In other words, there is no other reasonable response.
And how has this response been? Has there been threats against you, against your community?
Well, we have threats from time to time. We have physical attacks from time to time. It's okay. It's okay. You know, we expect this to happen. We expect that the other side is strong and aggressive. But again, this is encouraging because this is all they can respond with. They have no logical or reasonable or religious proper religious argument to make it.
So in the face of threats, you're actually saying that this means that your activism is working because now people are getting worried and they're taking backlash against you. But we're also seeing backlash to students, such as the Turkish student who was recently arrested, Rumeysa Öztürk, Mahmud Halil, a student from Colombia who perhaps you demonstrated with very closely. What's your message to these students out there who are maybe worried and who are looking for guidance on what to do in this time?
Well, all we can say is, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's challenging. But in the same time, we, all of us, know that what we are doing is right. I cannot necessarily advise people exactly what to do and not to do. That's the choice of the individuals in the face that we can face backlash, but we are speaking up for humanity, we are doing a righteous deed, we please God by our acts, and this is what needs to be done. Now, who should be those doing it? That's up to the individual.
And can you talk a bit about your experiences when you went to Gaza or when you've been to other countries in the Middle East? How were you received by the people there? Perhaps like you can explain it in a way for other Jewish people who've never been. What would their experience be if they went?
This is a very important question because our personal experience is shocking for general Jewish people. We visited Gaza, and this was after the beginning of the siege. This was in 2009. Gaza is the most affected people from this conflict, from this war. And people were questioning before we went whether it's going to be safe, because after all, you know, these people should be dangerous to people who harm them. But this wasn't the case. They knew exactly who we are, who we were. They knew that we're not the enemy. They had no problem with us as Jewish people. We visited, we met Ismail Haniyeh, who was the prime minister of Gaza at the time. And he said to us, privately in a meeting and then publicly in a press conference, he said, we have nothing against the Jewish people, neither against the Jewish religion. We are against the occupation. This makes simple sense. I always take these stories back to our communities and I tell the people, Palestine is not dangerous to the Jewish people. I visited Gaza, I visited many other Muslim countries. Frequently I visit Muslim or Arab conventions. And guess what? I came home alive. It's not dangerous at all. People need to know this. And people who only follow mainstream media or Zionist media, generally speaking, they don't have even a chance to interact with any Palestinian or Muslim to have personal experience, mm-hmm. which is it's very unfortunate, because their information is being built on fabricated propaganda versus facts on the ground.